There we have it! Hong Kong make history, their first ever international test win. And what a game it was. Japan were fantastic. Hong Kong were fantastic. There's going to be a jolly good piss up tonight.
Hello and welcome to almost the last episode of League 852. I'm Neville Metcalf and your host, joined by, to my left, Jack Nielsen, and to my right, Ringo Lung.
Hello.
Leo.
But just to clarify, last episode of the season, not ever. We're not disappearing.
Oh, we're done already? The sponsors episode. Pulled the plug.
Oh, the sponsors pulled we're gone. The plug. We're gone.
Yeah. Okay.
The last one for the season.
Last one for the season.
We will have a few more in the build-up to the Emerging Nations World Cup, which we will talk about.
And in Sydney. See if we talk to it later.
I think we should have a YouTube channel for the Sydney.
Ooh.
Ooh. Now we're getting technical.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
People not keen on that. That's,
YouTube.
That was a resounding no.
Maybe if Susie knows how to work it.
Yeah.
Susie knows how to work it.
Oh, yeah, YouTube.
Okay. Right, here we go. Right. So, last Saturday, the grand final. Ooh. A very tough, physical, demanding game. Toa, as expected, came out on top, but certainly didn't have it all their own way. No. Ringo, you played.
I did.
How was it?
It was as you said, very physical. It's quite loose, actually. I think probably the way Toa play and the combination of Storm having a couple new guys, myself included, playing as well, it was quite a loose game, but it did mean it was quite fast and it was quite ferocious in parts. I mean, I got a good stinger to the ribs. I went flying about 5 meters in the air, and I couldn't get up after that. So that was a good way to finish my game. But overall, I think it was very exciting. Lots of physicality and some good tries, I reckon. But Toa, I think, deserved the champions, not just for the game, but throughout the whole season, I reckon.
Yeah, I think Toa, they played decent football. I think where you saw some of the differences, where Toa went really well, sorry, where Broncos, oh, bollocks to this.
Would you like another coffee, mate?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Okay.
Storm?
I thought what was interesting was the way Storm went about their business. You could tell which ones were real leaguers. Mm. Matt Jones had an immense game.
Dim Sum. Matt Dim Sum Jones. We refer to the axe, now we refer to Matt as Matt Dim Sum.
Dim sum was huge. He was like siumai and the hagao put together, piled on top of each other.
Probably with a bit of char siu bao on there.
Yeah, top of the char siu bun. Yeah, he was absolutely immense.
He was fantastic. I mean, he'd have been close to probably man of the match if he was on the winning team.
Yeah, I think so.
And I thought Josh Meninga made a massive difference when he turned up.
Just that delivery from dummy half. Just nice clean ball. Guys could run onto that ball, get it to Troy Rogers, who could then try and put boys in gaps. And yourself, of course.
Ah, thank you. No, when he came on, it was a bit of a game changer. He was just elite, like talking a bit more with the organisational part. He's just obviously, you know, grown up with Lee, so that experience, you can't buy that.
A name like Meninga and those eyebrows.
Yeah. Well, he was very vocal on the pitch. Yeah. He seemed to spend most of his time talking to me. No, he was very good. You could hear him talking to the team and guiding them. He also did well in the tackle as well. I mean, he wasn't away from anything. He was very impressive.
Choppy.
Josh, if you're listening, come to training.
Good feet. Come to Sydney.
And come to Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
Griff went well.
Yeah.
Some good, strong, heavy runs there.
Strong carries.
Easily. He plays union normally, but he's definitely...
No, he's going to be playing alongside Ben Ryan right when he goes back to Sydney.
Is that right?
The Wallabies. So we had that little chat after the game.
Yeah.
He'll play with the Wallabies.
Have you even seen... I didn't realise we were in the same team.
Ben's team.
Hong Kong front row there.
I think so.
Well, Griffey is now eligible. Yes. He just needs to turn up to training on Saturday.
Yep.
Exactly.
And we'll meet him in Sydney.
Yeah. So look, good final. What do you think about the overall tournament, guys? You know, obviously that was the final, the end of the season. Our second season completed successfully, by the way.
Second season.
I think we're going to take positives from that.
Yeah.
But lots of room for improvement.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as we mentioned previously on the pod, maybe just a bit overstretched this year. I mean, we had to give it a try, given that we had the Emerging Nations World Cup this year in October, but I guess without that sort of looming over us, we can kind of take stock again and review how we want to run the domestic season. But certainly there is an appetite for it. And again, if nothing else, this season we've had some really good players come through. Hong Kong eligible players come through as well who are putting their hand up for the squad, which if we didn't have the domestic season, we wouldn't know about, quite frankly. So if nothing else, that domestic season has been successful for that reason, in my opinion.
Yeah, and also I think it will be interesting to see how many of those are still interested after the World Cup.
Yeah.
Because obviously there is interest, because there is a World Cup. I think, you know, the long term will be key. Because will they still want to play next year? And you know, hopefully they will, you know.
Yeah.
We've seen when people have been selected, you know, they've really got the rugby league bug and enjoy being around with the lads and buy into what we're doing and growing the game. And I think what we saw on Saturday a bit is you saw maybe some decent players, maybe with a few more egos, and that's going to be interesting as we get to Sydney and how, you know, the coaching staff manage that, because today everyone's just been in it together, understands we're growing the game, understands we're not perfect, and everyone's just chipped in.
We'll be taking a bigger squad, so I guess with that means the man management part really has to come in. And well, as players as well, we want to make sure that everyone, you know, feels welcome and everyone understands their role and understands that everyone has a part to play in the squad, and you know, no person is bigger than the team. So yeah, that's something that from a player perspective, I hope that we'll be driving as well.
Do we think we might see the Kowloon Tigers return next season?
Wow. Matty Keyes was quite pissed when we saw him on Saturday night, but he was, I don't know.
I mean, the appetite is there. It's just how we sort of channel that appetite and quite, you know, our limited resources in the right way, I reckon. It's we just need to find the right structure that allows us to have competitive games every week, which I think we can do. It's just about how we, you know, get to that point given the restrictions that we have.
I mean, a full strength Kowloon Tigers team would definitely give Toa a run for their money.
Sure.
But what we don't want is purely a league where one team, maybe two, are just putting 100 points past everyone. So the issue we've got is do we have enough beginners just to have a beginners comp? And then the more seasoned players can play in a seasoned comp. We need to see what happens after the World Cup.
See who we're going to attract.
But also on the back of the men's success, we've had the successful women's nines, which was concluded a Northern victory.
North
rule supreme. Go North.
Yeah.
2-1 was the final score?
It was 2-1.
Yeah, the test series was 2-1. I actually can't remember what the final score was.
I think it was 26-12 on Saturday.
Yeah.
And again, considering that we were just going to do the one-off game as part of the Hong Kong Nines, the ladies were obviously super keen to play another game and then make it a series.
Yeah.
So it was great to have them along, get all these new players, have different clubs involved. Big shout-out to the Gai Wu Club, Sandy Bay Ladies, and Hong Kong Football Club, who provided the bulk of the players that came. And hopefully those players will go back and spread the gospel of rugby league, and then we'll get even more ladies playing next year, and maybe we can even expand it into more of a competition that runs on, again, alongside the men's.
And a special shout out to Harriet, who came up with 4 tries in the grand final. What a performance.
Wow, yes.
Want to remember.
Definitely, she definitely runs the show for the Sandy Bay Ladies when she's playing 15s. And actually, here's what she had to say about playing a bit of rugby league.
I really enjoy playing nines this season. I found it physically very challenging, and it was also good to play with girls from different teams. I think it has prepared me for Sandy Bay's season this year in terms of fitness and just getting my head back into the game. I wouldn't say I have a secret scoring tries. I'm not often a try scorer, but I guess if you see the gap, you've just got to go for it. And I definitely would like to play nines again next season. So I'll be looking out for any updates on when that will be.
So, Harriet there, modest as always, but again, when we've got those sorts of players running the show, and with that a bit of experience, playmaking experience, definitely makes a difference. Who do we think was the player of the game, or so the top player on the grand final? On
well, the man of the match, man went, of the match. Went to Ron Stevens, for Toa. It was fantastic, right? He's just, he's not big.
No.
And he's not even muscular, he's just elusive, right? Yeah. He just gets a ball, he just seems to jump, step in, boom!
he has this thing that he does where he kind of gets the ball and he slows down. And I think it's quite a sort of a classic Fiji. I mean, we're in Hong Kong, obviously Fiji 7 seems very famous here. But he kind of has this classic Fiji sort of playing style where he sort of slows down and then the defence slows down with him. And then he just spot a gap and boom, his acceleration just takes him through. And he's so hard to catch after that. He's made so many line breaks, not just for Toa, but sorry, in the grand final, but also throughout the season. He was just doing exactly the same every game. And he was well-deserved man of the match on Saturday.
And he got a hat-trick.
Exactly. He was it. Guys like him, I think, were the difference, because he was one of the real game-breakers. And as soon as...
Well, three of their tries were from breakaways, almost on their own line.
Exactly.
You know, Storm chucked a bad ball or did something, right, and then...
We had quite a lot of consecutive sets where we put a lot of pressure on the Toa defence, but as soon as we made a mistake, we lost the ball, then that was it. It was Ron. We just seen the back of his boots, and he is down streaking down the pitch and scoring. So guys like him were the real sort of encapsulate the way Toa play, I reckon.
Yeah. And we actually caught up with Ron, funnily enough, and here's what he had to say about scoring lots of tries.
Yeah, I really enjoy playing with Toa boys, not only that, Toa, some of the local boys too from Hong Kong. I really enjoy playing with them. And yeah, my background, I usually play rugby league back in Fiji. I played rugby union sevens, but mostly I play rugby league back in Fiji. What's my secret scoring tries? It's there's no secret. I don't underestimate any players on the ground. Just run through the gap. The gap, you can see, you can create something in it when you run through the gap. Yeah, and I'm only been here for Hong Kong for 1 year, 6 months now. I'm willing to play for Hong Kong. If I picked, I'm hoping to be playing for Hong Kong.
So, Ron, a bit of a background in Fiji, playing a bit of rugby league and then coming here to Hong Kong. He's only been here for, 18 months?
Yeah.
So he's got a bit of a wait before Hong Kong, but we'd love to have him on the team, wouldn't we?
Well, of course we would. With all due respect to yourself, Jack, and Ringo here.
What did it say?
Oh, Ringo, what? Me? That's understandable.
We don't have genuine pace in the current team.
No.
So to have genuine pace like that would be a massive asset. Yeah. Hopefully we'll have a bit more pace as we pick up recruitment towards the Emerging Nations World Cup. But yeah, if we could have him, fantastic.
Yeah, just a quick story on him, actually. After the game on Saturday, he came over to me, and I think Jason Yip, we were having a chat.
Who's Jason?
Oh, sorry,
you mean the Axe.
Axe. Oh, the Axe.
Okay.
Me and the Axe were having a chat about chopping wood. And then and then Big Ron came over and started talking to us. And about halfway through the conversation, he was like, oh yeah, I'm actually only here because the guys are giving me shots, so I had to run away from them. I was like, cheers, halfway here, you'd have a chat, but... Pretty good bloke as well.
He's obviously more sensible than I was, because they were giving me shots and I just stupidly stayed there. anyway.
Good times.
But yeah, he's a good lad. But actually, all that team, you know, are good lads after the game, after they've taken your head off a few times.
They're quite nice.
But I mean, a few of those boys are going to be eligible for the Emerging Nations World Cup, which is coming up. Last and final trials this Saturday. We've got... Frankie's available.
Frankie Solomona's available. Just a question of him turning up. That should be interesting. He'll make a difference out there in the centres, maybe with Hogan. That'll be nice.
Yeah, Faisal's now available.
Wow, Faisal. I'd gladly step aside for Faisal any day of the week. I think he'll add a lot for us, definitely.
He's just in this month, actually.
He is.
Daring to go.
And I think Evie is available.
Evie as well. Evie's played, actually, for Hong Kong 15s. He made his test debut against, I think it was Zimbabwe. Last year, okay. Went on tour. So again, if we're talking about potential dual internationals, he's one. Seb Alphonse, who plays at Hong Kong Football Club, He's another potential dual international. So you've got a few guys there that, you know, if they're willing to come down and train and do the trials, obviously they're good players, but then again, you know, everyone else is making the commitment to come and train and trial.
I think you have to turn up to training, particularly if you live in Hong Kong.
I think so.
We've made dispensation for some of the Kiwis and Aussies who were proven playing in one massy and some of the comps like that. But if you're in Hong Kong, you need to come to training. But, you know, it's also about developing that team spirit.
Yes.
You know, it's not fair to parachute people in who live in Hong Kong, who have been here for, you know, long enough. And they've had, there must have been some opportunities to come down to training at some point. So, but you know, we're not going to dwell on too bad. I think Banzo would be interesting. He's a big unit.
He's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
I'd bring him off the bench.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Run at some Thai defenders.
Yeah, definitely. Because he's got a bit of footwork as well. He's good with that offload as well.
I think he just needs winding up before the game because he does have that, he does have a bit of a handbrake.
I guess.
Does he need a slap in the face?
You can do it, Jack. You can do it.
Maybe his brother can do it.
I'm pretty good at slapping people in the
face. we'd love to get those boys involved. So hopefully they come to trials and.
I think rewarding the guys who have done well through the season as well, playing in the domestic league, I mean, that is another form of commitment that you can show outside of the trials and the training, you know, actually playing in tournament. If we have, because the Toa team, every week they put out a team.
Yes.
So that is, you know, the one team that has done that throughout the whole season. So if they've been committed.
And also last year, half of that team was playing for Wan Chai.
Yeah.
So, you know, they are... They have been playing regularly with rugby league.
Yes, in Hong Kong. So I think that's also is important. I mean, going to training and trials, for sure, is very important, but actually committing playing to the domestic season is equally as important, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed. Well, we are building up to the Emerging Nations World Cup. Trials are on Saturday. Final trials.
Yes.
Jack, you're one of the selectors. How have the trials been to date?
Been pretty well attended. It's nice to get a look at a few different guys, and not just in games. The last session had at Happy Valley, it was a bit of a fitness blast with Ringo over here, and Bwai showed a lot of mental toughness.
Yeah.
And you know, again, just a few games to work on those skills. But obviously, this Saturday we'll be looking to play a game, some sort of game, and again give guys a chance to show those skills on the rugby league field, and that's what I'm looking forward to the most. And also just seeing how a few of those tall boys slot into playing with, alongside some of the other guys. Again, we've got this last trial coming up. If guys want to go to Sydney, come along and play. And so we can see you, we know who you are, and we can hopefully try and get you on that plane.
Now, we have got one guy who's got one cap for Hong Kong. He played against Japan in the Hong Kong's first ever game. He's very keen to play. He's deaf and stupid in that we keep telling him he cannot play for Hong Kong anymore. But anyway, he still keeps messaging us saying he's eligible, even though he's not. So our next round of local league interviews with the one and only Jack Muir.
My league background... I'm a New Zealander, so got into it while living over there. The game that made me love rugby league was the 1989 Grand Final. I would have been a six-year-old to watch my beloved Balmain Tigers go down to the Canberra Raiders. past then, just loved my league through the 90s. Played league for Rookie of the Knights, won a premiership in Christchurch in 2004. Moved on to Wellington, played for the Victoria University Hunters, then played a little bit of Māori Par Wars League for Omahu Huiers, then went to Australia and played in Queensland for the West Mitchie Panthers, also had some guest appearances for the, what were they called out there, not Mitchell, the Miles Devils is what they were called, and then I sort of moved around the world, but ended up in Hong Kong. And how did I get involved? I watched the 2014 Tri Nations final when New Zealand blew Australia away at the Caketon in Wellington with a few burgeoning leagues. And since then, I got involved and ended up playing a couple of Rizzi's games, represented the Hong Kong Residents 13 in Philippines. and Wanchai Warriors and Hong Kong Hunters in the local league, and even got my first cap, and could be probably my last ever game of rugby league for the Hong Kong Thunder when we went down against Japan. But yeah, so proud to see Hong Kong Rugby League going from strength to strength, and this podcast is a great example of it. I don't think I actually do host the number one podcast in Asia Pacific anymore. I think it's 17th. But yeah, anyone out there that wants to listen to legal counsel for an irreverent look at all things rugby league and hearing life stories that will make you cringe, please tune in. Follow us at legal_counsel on Twitter or on your favourite podcasting site. But yeah, this League 852 is, I'd say, is taking the mantle now as the most popular league podcast in Asia. And yes, I'm looking forward to the Hong Kong Thunder coming down to Australia for the Emerging Nations World Cup in October. I hope to be part of it. I'll get up there and follow the guys, and happy to be part of the team. Run water, strap. Well, not that I'm getting good at strapping, or just have some beers with the coaching staff before and after the game. Yeah, it's going to be a festival of rugby league, and you know, I see it's all hosted out west, a heartland of rugby league. So the Hong Kong boys are going to get well looked after. So you're guaranteed to see me in some capacity at the Emerging Nations World Cup in October this year in Sydney.
Is Jack Muir the biggest rugby league fan you know?
Ah, yeah.
Is he the maddest rugby league fan you know?
Yes.
There you go. Two more titles for you, Jack.
Jesus. I met him in Australia last year to watch a rugby league game.
Final?
Yeah.
Yes.
The World Cup final. England versus Australia.
Yeah.
In Brisbane. Uh-huh. It was a nightmare. We had four or five, you know, fairly largest blokes behind us who Jack had just wound up, who were basically threatening to kick his heads in.
Yeah.
And some of it was just good natured banter, but God, he winds people up.
He does.
And we were at the front, we had front row seats,
right,
of whatever stand we were on.
Yeah.
And he kept standing up, and he's 6'4", 6'3". So it was everyone behind us going nuts. He's then coming out with some bizarre comments. You know what he's like.
I feel like
someone would get the ball and just go, "That's racist." Like, "Jack, what do you mean that's racist? Nah, he shouldn't be playing. Racist." And he's like going, "Oh, Jack, you know, Aboriginal based. You should be Aboriginal, more Aboriginals in this team." And you're going, "Oh, Jack, calm down, mate." And then the stewards came across. Came across, and actually he had his Hong Kong jersey on. And I can't remember what jersey it was, number 22 or something. And we actually called him by his jersey number. So he said,
"To show him a card? Yellow card or red card?"
He said, "Oh, you idiot." It was just kind of, "22, will you sit down?"
22.
"Will you sit down?
Oh, sorry."
"If you don't sit down, you're going out." And he still kept going. Anyway, he is the biggest leaguer that I know of, and he's absolutely crackers. But, you know, an integral piece of what Hong Kong Rugby League was two years ago. And you know, his enthusiasm did help get players to the, you know, the first couple of nines.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he went quite well against Japan.
He's super handy.
Right. He was a good player.
Yeah.
He really was. I mean, he's just arms and elbows and knees running in your face. It's quite hard to bring him down.
If you can just grow a mullet for October.
If he grows a mullet, we will change his birth certificate or whatever and just get him in. Anyway, Jack, thank you for your help and your commitment to Hong Kong Rugby League and to Rugby League in general. I hate to think what we would put in your obituary whenever that happens. The craziest Rugby League fan in the world ever. Right.
What a way to go.
Tag. Last week, I promised I would talk about the Tag World Cup.
Yes.
Your preparations are going well, Ringo. You had 3 or 4 trials today.
Yeah, we've had 3 or 4 trials. I mean, I think in the summer the tag sessions are genuinely very good. Anyways, we have kind of about, I think the last session I went to, there was about 50 or 60 people on the field. So playing a mixture of social and some of the Hong Kong trialists. So tag it in general is going very well. And obviously now we're building up towards the Tag World Cup in November. And there have been some really handy players that have turned to the trials, actually. There have been some really top quality players pushing for a spot in that team. And obviously with James Elliott leading troops, ex-Queensland Tag representative, I'm sure we'll have a good side to send out.
Hopefully. I mean, are we sending two teams?
We're sending one team from Hong Kong.
But there'll be a rep team based on eligible players from Australia?
Potentially. That we were inquiring about that, because we do have a lot of Hong Kong eligible players in Australia as well who played at a very good level. So maybe we'll have to nick a few of those guys as well to bolster our squad.
Well, we hear from James Elliott, who I believe recorded this whilst in Australia.
Commitment.
League family.
He is. Well, they're just a sports family as well, right? I mean, James Elliott is, you know, he's not. I think the only sport he probably doesn't do is MMA and boxing.
Give it time.
Track and field, rugby union, rugby league, tag, touch.
Yeah.
Runs those great sprinting sessions out of Happy Valley and just opens up to everyone.
The sprinting sessions are really good, actually. I mean, I kind of run in a very funny way, and he...
Like a duck.
I run like a duck. Okay. I run basically like a duck, but you can see my feet above the water, so I just look weird. Whereas ducks look graceful normally. Do ducks run? Anyways, that's one for next week. What I was trying to say, James really helped me sort of identify what I was doing wrong and how I can improve and get quicker. And actually, the sessions genuinely made me quicker. And so, yeah, if you're looking for a sprint trainer.
I'm just thinking of Beijing duck now. Quite fancy.
Quite hungry now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should go get a feed after this.
Hi, we're here today with the head coach of the Hong Kong tag team, Mr. James Elliott, for a bit of a quick chat.
Hi, everyone.
So, yeah, here's Blake Elliott with the first question.
How have the Hong Kong trials been so far?
Pretty good. We've had a lot of new faces come down for the social tag sessions. Being very encouraging signs. Some have also been encouraged to join the Hong Kong tag team trials, which have been held every week. Players have come from different areas, touch rugby, tag backgrounds, also rugby union, rugby league, with a good mix of skills, some experience, and a lot of enthusiasm. With one last trial coming up on Wednesday night, we'll have a team set by the end of that week, we hope.
As Hong Kong Tag coach, how will you draw on your experience as a past OzTag representative?
We all know that experience counts, so I'm hoping I'll be able to give a little bit of this. I began playing OzTag back in 1993 after I finished high school with a bunch of my mates on the Gold Coast in Queensland. I played for the Gold Coast rep side from 94 to 98 and the Queensland side for a few years from 96 to 98. I hope I'll be able to use this experience along with my referee knowledge to give our side the best chance they have of a bit of a successful experience at the World Cup in Coffs Harbour in November.
So you mentioned the trials and so forth. So who are the players to watch?
We've got a few senior players with some experience and some flair. We've got young Lucas and Tommy. They'll lead the players around the pitch. Tommy's great out wide, good step, good speed. Lucas is Lucas, for those who have seen him at training and trials and games. He's everywhere. We've got Dams and Brett, who are great communicators between the middles and the wings. On the women's side, we've got a group of new players who showed promise during the recent State of Origin series and also the social sessions. I've also recruited some speed from my sprinters from the American International School. Michael, Megan and Victoria are all my top level sprinters. They've become regulars over the social sessions and have transitioned well from track, volleyball, basketball to tag rugby pitch. There's a few late entries from the and additions from the DB team. We've got Andrew Ray, Zach and Ash. Have all shown an interest in being contended for position, and they're all very good rugby players and tag players.
Okay, so you talk about the new blood coming through. What would be your message for these potential players?
Anyone that's got experience or a willingness to be involved to play, you know, should join the social session. We've got one this Sunday at Happy Valley, pitch 6, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. it would be suggested they come down and have a run around, but they would have to attend the final trial on Happy Valley Pitch 6 on Wednesday night, same time, 6:30 p.m. till 8 p.m. We've recently had the Hong Kong Tag Super League, and then we have the Super League tournament coming up. Begins on Saturday, August the 11th, also the 18th and the 25th, to be held at King's Park from 7:30 to 9 p.m. on Saturdays. If anyone's willing to join, then they can contact us on the Hong Kong Tag Facebook page.
Do you have any messages out to the wider community?
Definitely. We are a new sport to Hong Kong and numbers are growing each session. Currently, we do not have a major sponsor, and with the team kit not yet finalised, this could be a great opportunity for a company or a business who's keen to get involved. Our players come from a wide variety of backgrounds, and we will have exposure via a wide range of media outlets. We would be able to have the logo and large portable banners and apparel along with the team kit. So having the logo on, being publicised quite widely the best we can. We would obviously be thrilled if a business was interested in this opportunity, and we'd do everything we can to give them maximum exposure. Anyone interested in a partnership should contact us via the Hong Kong Tag Facebook page or can find me at the American International School PE department.
So just finally, do you have anything that you would like to add just to finish off this podcast?
Unfortunately for myself and my son Blake, we don't qualify. We miss out by 8 months of residency rule. But Hong Kong Tag is very fast growing. It's a good, fast and exciting version of the rugby game. It's based on rugby league. It was started by St George Rugby League Club a long time ago as their downtime during the season. So come down, have a social session, get involved, check us out on Hong Kong Tag, and thanks for your time.
Now, James Elliott came up with some good points there. Great interview, actually. Interview by his son.
Yeah, it's in the misses, right? Yeah.
Sporting family. And again, for the record, I think the effort James Elliott puts into the sporting community in Hong Kong, it's a bit like Jack Nielsen here. It's fantastic. And these are unsung heroes, right? I mean, he wasn't charging for his sprint sessions. Does he charge now?
I'm not sure about now, but part of it was through Valley, but yeah.
So, he's doing all that for free, passing on his extensive knowledge. He helped referee nearly all the games in Super League last year.
Yeah.
Refereed at the Nines.
We probably...
He puts teams into the tag as well.
And yeah, hashtags.
The hashtag, so...
Yeah, no, he's committed. In Hong Kong, is made up of these individuals who make a big difference. Yeah. And, in some way, I think it goes to make living here a rewarding experience.
Yeah, for sure. He's been great. He's just a great guy, great family.
Right, well, moving on, we can take our fingers out of his bum hole.
Your fingers, not mine, or Ringo's.
Mine are still trying to paddle.
Your fingers are bigger than mine, Jack, would probably have more impact.
I think so.
Right, well, that almost brings us to a close. I've personally enjoyed working with you guys over the last few months on this podcast. It's been good fun.
It's been a pain.
I've hated every minute.
Painful.
Hated this experience.
We'll have a few more as we build up towards the Emerging Nations World Cup, because we will have a big ramp up once James Hall starts responding to email about the crowdfunding.
Probably in the phone box again, doing whatever he was doing when he was recording the last podcast.
Power walking.
Power walking.
Yeah. Power something. anyway, thank you, James. Please do get your finger out soon.
Is he in James Elliott's bumhole as well?
This is descending.
This is
descending into madness.
Last session of the season.
So. I think you can cut this bit, Jack.
No, I'm going to keep it in.
Right then. That just leaves us to say au revoir.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.